I pray that, Lord, please, you'd help us now. I ask, help me as I teach, please. Help me to be clearly understood. Lord, show us wonderful things out of your law. Strengthen us. Help us to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe, please. And Father, thank you for the word. We don't have to guess what you've told us, or we don't have to guess what you've expect of us. But Lord, you've written it clearly and given it to us and preserved it for us. Please help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The thing in baptism that you have to first understand is, first, if you can get the definition of the word right, then you've pretty much conquered almost the whole battle. Where a lot of people get into problems is they say baptism is da-da, and it's not even the definition. There's a couple of, someone said, well, the Lutherans do it this way, and the Methodists do it this way, and the Baptists do it this way, and the Catholics do it this way. What would happen if you pushed all of that aside and you said, all I want to know is what does God tell me in the Bible how to do it? In other words, I'm not as interested in Baptist baptism as much as I am Bible baptism. That's what I'm interested in. Now, if I can get the definition of the word right, then I can go from there. And I put the definition in your notes there. And the word baptism means to dip, to immerse, to submerge, to put under water. It means to cover completely. There is no other definition other than that for baptism. It has never meant to sprinkle. It has never meant to partially cover. It has always meant to cover. In the 17th century, England wanted to do away with the word baptism. So they rewrote Greek lexicons. In other words, if you wanted to look up the definition of a word, you got to go to a Greek authority. In the 17th century, England rewrote Greek lexicons. So if you as a Christian wanted to go look up English definitions of Greek words, this is what you'd find. Baptism, sprinkle. And they rewrote it, but for 1700 years, the definition of baptism has always been what I just read to you right there, to completely cover. Okay? You say, why? Now, if we talk, let's not talk, baptism, Baptist versus Lutheran or anything else like that. Let's talk sprinkling against covering right now. Okay? There are some, as far as holding to it, that I think they get really confused, and I want it cleared up when we're done here. Look at Acts 8:29-40, and watch this. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then watch this. Look at this soul winner. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now watch what happens. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? God saw fit to record what the eunuch was reading. God saw fit to record his question. What are we talking about here? God saw fit to record Philip saying, let me tell you about Jesus. Then it says the chariot went on its way, and they're going. The next question that God chose to record is this. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's amazing about this is this. 300 years before Jesus, baptism was a mode where the Jews would accept any Gentile coming in and being a Jew. 300 years before Jesus. How did the eunuch know, right when he gets saved, how did he know, okay, I need to get baptized? It doesn't say Philip taught him about baptism. Baptism was something 300 years before Jesus, as far as something that the Jews were doing, as far as accepting Gentiles into, as far as to accept you as a Gentile, to make you a Jew, then we don't ask you any more questions. What your last name is, where you come from, you're considered a Jew. Here, the eunuch, automatically, his first question is, can I get baptized? Nobody has to sit down and teach him an hour or 3 hours on baptism. Let me show you the history of it and what the Bible says about it. The first question out of his mouth is, can I get baptized? I want to get baptized. And I thought that was kind of unusual. Then watch what Philip said. And Philip said, verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Now, we're going to get into this in just a minute, but wait a second. If we're not talking Lutheran versus Baptist, if all we're talking is sprinkling versus immersion, you don't go into the water to get sprinkled. Okay? Now, when I got saved, I had some questions on this because I was raised that everything's wonderful. Okay? Every church is good. If all they have to do is mention God, and that's wonderful. Okay? That everything is general. There's no specifics. Everything's relative. And that's the way I was raised. When somebody sat me down and said, it says here they went into the water, I didn't know that that was in the Bible more than once. They went into the water. Okay? Did y'all hear the joke about the drought? It was so dry one day that the Methodists were using moist rags and the Baptists were sprinkling. Okay, when they were coming, verse 39. Now watch this. Look at verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, in the verse there it says they went into the water, and then it says they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away on his way rejoicing. So, I want to show you four things concerning baptism, and we're going to kind of go through this quickly, and we're going to see what happens here. But if I can get you to remember four words about baptism, okay, that God plainly teaches, one of them is this. God commands us, number one, God commands us to be baptized. And if you just look at a couple of verses here, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, the Great Commission is to teach, baptize, and teach. Teach them how to get saved, baptize them, and then teach them after they get baptized to go get other folks saved and get them baptized so that they can go get other folks saved. On it goes. That's the Great Commission. We're commanded to do that. Getting baptized is a command. And here's what's dangerous. There's several ways the pendulum swings, okay? One way, all the way over here, is that baptism, it's nice. If you get around to it, hope you can make it and hope it works. The other extreme is all the way over here, and it says baptism is so important, you got to do it or you go to hell. That's the other extreme. What would happen if I don't swing with a pendulum and I just say, okay, I want to know what God says on it? This side's tragic over here because Jesus got baptized. Wait a second. I'm supposed to follow in his steps. He's my example. I'm supposed to do what he did. So it's not a casual thing. But the Bible also doesn't teach that it's so severe. And they were coming up with this as far as the new Christians in the early church in the 100, 200 A.D., right around there. They were thinking, wow, this really is a lot in the Bible on this. The word baptism and being baptized is in the Bible a lot. It is in the Bible so much, around 300 A.D., a man named Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, writes a book on how if you don't take the Lord's Supper, get baptized, and identify yourself with the church, you go to hell. That was the first time that had been written. And here's where it came up with. You say, why would somebody write something like that? This was their thinking. They didn't have as far as all of the Bible put together. You and I carry 66 books. You and I carry either a New Testament or we carry all of it. They had portions of it, and so everybody was, these churches were getting these ideas, well, it's in the Bible an awful lot. If it's in the Bible that much, then you must have to do it to be saved. Well, watch this. Now let's take it one step further. They started, if it's in the Bible that much, and you have to do it to get saved, that's around 300 A.D., okay? Then they came up with this idea. Watch this. The sooner the better. That's where infant baptism comes along. Infant baptism, being baptized as a baby, is found nowhere in the Scripture. It's something that a tradition, as far as that they came up with on their own. It's in there a bunch. You must have to do it to get saved, so the sooner the better. So let's start doing it as babies. And about 350 A.D., right around in there, they started coming out, if you don't get your child baptized, you are going to be put to death. And they started making it a law. This one thing that we're talking about, as far as if you look at history, It is one of the main things that more Christians have been put to death over than any other topic that we could look at in the Bible. It's that big of an issue. It's that big of an issue. And I did not realize it was in the Bible that much until we started looking at it. God says, first of all, what is baptism? It's a command. It is a command. It's not optional. It is a command, like reading your Bible is a command. And I've had people say, well, baptism is a command. It's so important, you got to do it or you go to hell. And I always say, wait a second, going to church is a command. Reading your Bible is a command. Praying is a command. Telling others about the Lord is a command. Those are things I do to tell Jesus that I love Him, not to do it to go to heaven. I trusted Jesus to go to heaven. Let's keep on going here. Acts 10:48 plainly comes out and says, He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So getting baptized is a command. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I tell everybody this, the only reason you ought to get baptized is because you love Jesus, period. It's the only reason. If you love me, keep my commandments, and you only love as much as you obey. And you don't love more than you obey. So follow the command to show you love Him. Why do you get baptized? To show you love Jesus. Look at 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden. God does not ask you to do something that you cannot fulfill. It is not a grievous. It's not something that wears you out. So it's a command. Number two, baptism is to be done after we believe in Jesus. We are to be baptized after. So it's a command, and it's to be done after. Mark 16:15-16. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Here, believing is followed by baptism. Many people come to our church, as far as from other churches, and they'll say, I was baptized as a baby. Or I was baptized 10 years ago. I was baptized at age 8. And then my question is this, when were you saved? When were you saved? Then when they say, well, last week, then I always say, nowhere in the Bible was anybody ever baptized before they were saved. In the Bible, you're always baptized after you're saved. Now, we'll get into the wedding ring here in just a second as far as look at Acts 2:41. Watch this. Here's another instance. Then they that gladly received His word, they got saved, were baptized. There it is again. Salvation, then baptism. Look at Acts 8:35-38. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe and you're saved, then you can get baptized. That's the teaching all the way through the Bible. You won't find it any differently. So, baptism is first of all a command. Next, it's to be done after you believe in Jesus, not before. What else about baptism? Baptism, we're to be baptized. You have some other verses there you can look at. But number three, we're to be baptized by immersion. Now, this is an area people call controversial and everything else. I did not know this was so much in the Bible until I started looking at it. Let's look at a couple of places, but watch. Matthew 3:16. Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, or immediately out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. Jesus, when He was baptized by immersion. He came up out of the water. He didn't go down into the water to get sprinkled. Let's look at another verse. Watch this. Acts 8:38-39. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Then verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water. Look at letter number C there. Romans 6:3-5 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Stop. The word baptized means one thing. It is, the definition means to do what? Can you say it with me? It means to dip. It means to totally immerse. Is that right? Verse 4 of Romans chapter 6 says, let's read it one more time. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That baptistry is not Jesus Christ. That verse 4 is talking about salvation. When I was baptized, when I was saved, I was immersed or completely covered buried in Jesus. He placed me in Him, and now I'm safe. Nothing can reach me. Now watch this. Now look at verse 5. It says here, verse 4. I was Romans 6:3. Now look at verse 4. Therefore. Therefore is therefore number 3. You're saved in verse 3. You were baptized or immersed in Christ. Now verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, and then you can circle this word, it might help make sense, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the, here's another word, likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. In two verses, God uses the word like and likeness three times. God says, because you were saved in verse 3, God says, now you need to picture His death, burial, and resurrection in the likeness or the picture of it. In other words, when somebody's describing something and they say, well, it looked like this. It really wasn't this, but it looked like this. It looked kind of like a shade of purple, but it really wasn't purple. It was like this. God's using the same words here. He said, baptism is a likeness. It is not the actual death, burial, and resurrection, which as far as some use these verses here. So baptism is to be done by immersion. Watch this. If baptism means to sprinkle, that means I'm sprinkled with Christ. When He saved me, He did not sprinkle me. I am totally placed in Christ, and nothing can get me. I'm totally in Christ. Okay? I'm what the Bible calls saved to the uttermost. You can't get any more saved than I am. Okay? I'm saved to the uttermost. Okay? I'm as saved as you can get. Okay? Let's keep on going here. Now the four words I wanted to show you was that God commands us to be baptized. God says to be baptized after we're saved. It's to be done by immersion. And then lastly, we're to be baptized immediately. Okay? Immediately. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So God's plan in the Bible is this. First you get saved, then you get baptized, and then you're added unto them. You can become a member of the church. You get saved, then you get baptized, and then you can become a member of the church. In the Bible, they did that all in the same day. I like what somebody said. Do you believe you ought to have a committee and a questioning committee? And what do you believe about the Bible on this? And before you get baptized, are you set on these doctrines? And we're going to wait 6 months to see if you really meant it and really got it. And then if you're still sticking around and you're still in church, we'll baptize you. Sounds good. But in the Bible, they didn't do that. They did it all in the same day. When are you supposed to be baptized? As soon as you can. As soon as you can. It's not scriptural to wait. Okay? Here we go. They asked Brother Hiles as far as, he said, do you think you ought to do that? Do you think you ought to wait 6 months? He said, well, I think it's a great idea. He said, then I read the Bible. Okay? I think it's a great idea until I read the Bible. Acts 16:29 says this. Watch this. Then he called for a light, the jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And then watch this. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. In the Bible, they did it the same day. In the Bible, they did it the same hour. Okay? They did it the same hour. So it's to be done immediately. It's unscriptural to wait. Someone said, well, I want to wait, learn more about baptism, and then I'll do it. I always tell them this. Listen. Baptism is first a what? What word starts with a C? Baptism is first a command. Asking why is not bad, as long as you ask why at the right time. If my children ask me why at the wrong time, it's back talk. If I say take out the garbage and they say why, that's bad. You understand? If they obey and then ask why, then I have a teaching opportunity. Does everybody understand? Why is not wrong. The matter of baptism is not, do you understand everything about it that there is to understand? The matter about baptism is obedience. So I tell everybody this. You'll learn more if you'll go ahead and do what God tells you to do and then study it. Rather than, I think I'm going to wait, study it, make sure I fully understand. Okay, can we get down to something here? We're going to look at this for a little bit longer, but I still do not, other than it's a matter of obedience, I do not know why God asked you to get wet after you get saved. Okay. Does everybody understand? We can have Bible study after Bible study, but bottom line is, God said, do it, and that's the bottom line. As far as, do you fully understand it? Do you fully... I can take you to a lot of scripture in the Bible, but bottom line is, do you fully understand why? No, I don't. Okay? So, are you ever going to fully understand it? No, just obey. Just obey. And you'll learn more about baptism if you get baptized first, then open up the Bible and look at it, because you obeyed it. Okay, let's keep on going here. To refuse to be baptized is disobedience. It does not say it sends you to hell, okay? But James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So God says if you know to get baptized and you don't, if you have an opportunity, I was saved in the USS Trent LPD 14 in 1986. I had 5.5 months, no church, no pastor, no anything over in the Mediterranean. All I did was read my Bible. I had no one. I got baptized when I got back stateside. And a deacon in a church took me. He said, son, you saved? I said, yes, sir. He said, you've been baptized? I said, well, no, sir. He said, you need to get in the tank. He was just as plain as you could get. He said, well, you need to get baptized, son. I said, why? He took me to Acts 2:41, and he showed me that. I waited 5.5 months after I got saved. That's not the case with most. Most can get saved and baptized as soon as they come to church. If you have that opportunity and you don't, God says it's sin. Doesn't say it sends you to hell. God says it's sin. Okay, let's keep on going here. 1 Corinthians 2:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So God said, put down in your notes here, the Holy Spirit will lead you to get baptized once you're saved. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Okay? Give you the illustration of the wedding ring there, and I tried to put it in your notes. But as far as, I like this, and it helps me. When someone says, as far as, why should I get baptized? I always say it's a wedding ring. If I take this off, okay, I'm still married. If I wasn't married and I put it on, I'm still single. Okay? All this is this tells you, without me using my mouth, that I belong to a lady. One lady. That's all this tells you. Okay? And I say, if you get, this is a picture of my vows. You don't even have to ask me what I said. You know what I said. You see the ring on my finger, on my left hand? You know what I said. All the baptism does is it shows you, without asking them, it shows you, without them telling you, that they're saved. That's all it does. It doesn't save them. It's just a testimony to everybody else. It's like a wedding ring. If you get baptized without getting saved, it's like a single person putting on a ring. They're still single. They're still single. How about this? Someone said, well, I got baptized when I was 6. They're 20 years old and they're getting saved. And then I always say, now listen, what would you have thought of me if you had known me and you saw me with a ring on my finger 6 months before I got married? Oh, wow, you're married. Oh, wow, that's really neat. And I say, no, I'm just getting married in 6 months, but I'm wearing the ring. You thought that's goofy. I said, same thing. This is just a symbol of the substance. That's a symbol of the substance. It's a symbol. It's a picture. It's a likeness. It's not the actual substance. Okay? Let's keep on going here. Luke 7:29-30, found these, and I thought they were neat, so I put them in your notes there. All the people that heard him, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. It's interesting. They said God was right, so they followed the Lord and believers' baptism. Look at the next verse. It says here, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Not being baptized when you can is to reject God's counsel. God says, get baptized. Get baptized. It happens one time in your life. It doesn't happen over and over again. Just get baptized. Don't reject the counsel of God. And you have some other verses you can look at. And Now let's look over here, and as far as where baptism cannot save anyone, does everybody see that Roman numeral number 8? If you skip Roman numeral number 7, Roman numeral number 8, baptism cannot save anyone. Okay, you say, are you sure? Now watch, I've talked with a lot of people, okay, and I think if you're a soul winner, if you've been a soul winner any length of time, you're going to talk to people that get pretty adamant about this thing. If I say, now, are you ready? Kind of breathe and
baptism is gonna, you don't get baptized, you're gonna go to hell. You understand me?
No matter how I say that, if I say false things in a loud voice, does that mean you're gonna believe me? How about this? How about if I come to you and I shake my finger in your face? If I'm telling you things that aren't true, does that mean because of how forceful I said it, you're going to believe me? I've talked with people that get pretty adamant about this. And all I have to do is mention one word. I'm a Baptist.
What? You don't get baptized, you're going to go to hell. I'm telling you.
And now, wait a second. And they're pretty hot. And here's what sounds convincing. Now, Brother Nash, when you're teaching on this, you don't scream. When they're teaching on it, they do. They say baptism saves. Now, let me give you just a real quick history here. There's more than, everybody say, you're talking about Church of Christ. There's more than Church of Christ to believe you got to get baptized or you don't go to their paradise or their heaven or whatever. But we live in Church of Christ area. We're going to get into this in a couple of weeks on the lesson on the church. But Kentucky and Tennessee are the areas that Arthur Campbell started, the Disciples of Christ, which later became the Church of Christ. We're living in Church of Christ territory. You understand? This is where it started at, this part of the country. So when somebody says, normally, as far as we pass out a track around here that says, what saves, baptism or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ does, but why would you have to teach that? Because of the area of the country we live in. Now, if you were up north, you know what you got to learn about? Catholicism. Okay? We don't live in that part of the country. We live in the south down here. This is where Arthur Campbell sprung a leak and got ticked off, and his daddy was Presbyterian and tried to sneak into a Baptist church and teach this stuff, and they kicked him out, and he said, I'll show you. And he went up to Kentucky and started the Disciples of Christ Church, and it later got changed. That was 1812. Later it became Church of Christ, and that's where that doctrine comes along. So, now, I'm talking more, if the Catholic Church believes this, the Mormon Church believes this, on and on it goes. I can go right down the line, but watch this. Baptism cannot save anyone. Now, how do you know? Are you sure? Are you sure? You know, when they talk, they're pretty forceful. I mean, don't you ever doubt? I mean, if somebody's screaming at you, don't you ever think, well, you know, maybe they're right too. I'm going to tell you, as we go into this, I don't doubt. One reason baptism cannot save is, watch this, look at the notes here. Number one, there underneath Roman numeral number 8, Jesus didn't baptize. John 4, 1 through 2 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, but watch this, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now wait a second. The Son of God, God incarnate in flesh, he could look at someone and say, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. He didn't say, make sure you go get baptized. He himself didn't baptize. That's one reason. He was baptized. I'm to follow his example. But he never baptized one person. The Bible says he didn't. That's one reason I know baptism can't save. Let's look at another thing. Paul didn't baptize. Watch this. He baptized a few. But 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So he said, the greatest missionary we've ever known, greatest church planner, used of God, writing 13 books of the Bible, God says here, has him record, I was not sent to baptize, I was sent to preach the gospel. And so you'd think the greatest missionary was sent to baptize. He said, I baptized the household of Stephanas and a few others I can count on one hand. He said, other than that, I baptized nobody else. I was sent to tell people the death, burial, and resurrection is what gets people saved. He said, then I'd ordain a preacher, leave. He said, and that guy, he'd go ahead and do the baptizing. Wow. Then he'd go on and start another church. That's another reason I know baptism can't save. That's another reason. Let's keep on going here. Baptism cannot wash away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ does that, or washes away sin. And you got some verses there, and you can look at those as far as, and let's keep on moving here. In the Bible, you have Roman numeral number 9. Use the simple scriptures to teach the harder scriptures. Someone wanted to, when I was first started soul winning, I'll never forget it. There was a counter, and he backed me all the way up against the counter. He said, you got to get baptized, you got to get baptized, you got to get baptized, you got to get baptized. And I said, now wait a second. I said, and I took him to these verses here that you have right there. I said, all of these simple verses tell me all I have to do to get saved and go to heaven is ask Jesus to save me. And I mean, I said right here. I said, and then right here. And I said right here. And right here. And right here. And it was just verse after verse. I said, now, if I believe what you believe, I said, these are wrong. These are simple scriptures. Always use simple scriptures to dissect or operate on or come to a conclusion about harder scriptures. Okay? Does everybody understand? Use your simple scriptures that you can read and just real simply understand. Look at the first one, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Doesn't get any simpler than that. I understand that. Now we're going to read some verses here in a little bit that look hard, that look contradictory, but I'm not going to use a hard verse, five of them, to contradict all the other simple verses in the Bible that tell me all I have to do to get saved is ask Jesus to save me. Okay? Let's keep on going here. Use the simple scriptures to teach the harder scriptures. And we've got to make way here. People were saved the same way in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. They always say, well, when Jesus died on the cross, from that point on, you know, I always say, well, what happened to the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross died, and Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise today. And he didn't have time to get baptized. The only thing he had to do is acknowledge Jesus as Lord, as the only one that could save him and get him there. And he said, this day you're there. And they said, well, after the cross, everybody then had to be baptized. I said, wait a second. King David was saved the same way I'm saved. King David looked to the Messiah one day who would come and die for his sins the same way I look back at the Messiah who came and died for my sins. Okay? They're all saved the same way. The sins of the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, Isaiah, Daniel, their sins were washed away the same as mine by trusting Jesus, not getting baptized. They weren't baptized to get saved, and neither do I. Okay? That's simple. Let's keep on going here. Water in the Bible is a picture or a symbol of the Word of God. And you got some verses there. We haven't got time to cover it. And I wanted you to take your Bible and look at, write down John 20, 30 to 31. John 20, John 20, I want to show you this. And then we're going to dig in here just to a couple more things. John 20. And this is the only thing I'm going to have you write down. John 20, 30 to 31. Now, this is what I like. We're going to look at some verses here that I think people misunderstand and they take you to and they say, see right there, it says right there you got to get baptized. This is what I have used many times. And I just want you to sit and listen to me just for a second. But if I ask you one question, if I could ask you one book of the Bible out of 66... that was written to show people how to get saved, what book would you tell me? Book of John? Because of these verses here that we're getting ready to read. If I asked you to take me to the book of Deuteronomy, could you show me how to get saved? Now, I think it's in there, but you'd have a hard time. I know. How about the book of 1 Kings? Now, it's in there. But there's a book of the Bible that God says was written for one reason. One reason. John 20, 30 and 31 says this, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but watch this, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Okay. So the Bible tells me if there's one book of the Bible that you can read that shows you how to get saved, it's the book of John. All the other books are wonderful. They're great. But there's a lot more in the Bible than just how to get saved. There's how to have a happy marriage. There's how to raise your kids. There's how to manage your money. There's a lot in the Bible. But if someone said, I want to know one thing, and I want to know how to get saved, there's one book of the Bible that God says if that's all you had, if all you had was the book of John, this was written for the purpose of showing you how to trust Jesus as your Savior and how simple it is. I think over 63 times he uses the word believe, believeth, puts his trust in Jesus Christ. All through the book of John. Now, watch this. Some of the verses we're going to look at are in the book of Acts. Are you ready? Now, think with me just for a second or you're going to lose me. I'm going to lose you. You're going to lose me. Think with me just for a second. The book of Acts was written from about 45 A.D. Let me see. If you would look at a timeline. You would think zero, and then you have about 33 A.D., and right around in there is where the cross is and all that. Then we're going to go over here to 45 A.D., 65 A.D., right around in here between 43 and 65 A.D. is when the book of Acts was written. It was written over a period of time. Luke wrote it. God used Luke to pen it, 43 to 65 A.D. Everybody with me? Now watch this. The book of John was penned about 27 years after Acts. We're going to look at some verses here in just a minute that look like in the book of Acts, you got to get baptized or you can't get saved. Yet the very verse that says Jesus baptized no one is in the book of John. I've told people this a long time. You mean the Holy Spirit of God penned a book in 90 A.D., 27 years after the book of Acts, that's totally irrelevant because it doesn't have how to get baptized to go to heaven in there, in the book of John. And they can't answer that. I said, you know what? That's because you don't have to get baptized to get saved. You get baptized after you get saved, not to get saved. The book of John was penned 27 years after the book of Acts. And that's why there's no contradictions in this book. I don't have a problem with it. You get saved, then guess what? As soon as you can, if it's the same day, the same hour, or maybe you're in my shoes, maybe 5.5 months later, as soon as you can, you get baptized. You picture what Jesus did for you. No problem. I don't have a contradiction with that. That's I wanted to show you that. There's the book of John that shows you as far as that was written. How I know baptism cannot wash away sin. And I put some verses in there for you. And how do I know it? Number one, baptism is a work. Matthew 3:14-15, John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus called baptism a work. Now, when I take that word and I look at it in the Bible tells me plainly works have never been able to save and can never save, have no saving power. Baptism is a work. Jesus said it was. That's one reason I know baptism cannot wash away sin. I know it. I don't think. I don't wonder at night when I go to bed. I don't, well, you know, maybe they could be right. I know it. Because Jesus called baptism a work. And we're not going to read all the verses there under how works cannot save, but you've got those there. And then here's another reason I know baptism cannot save. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. Watch this, and let's see if you can follow me real close, because then we're going to have to shut her down. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that's the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This thing that gets people saved is the gospel. It is the power of God. It is what gets folks from being on their way to hell to on their way to heaven. So whatever this gospel is, I have to figure out. The Bible tells me that this thing that gets people saved in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, I just want you to look at verses 3-4, but it defines the gospel for me. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible definition of the gospel, I have asked many people who say you've got to get baptized to go to heaven. I always say, what's the gospel? You know what they tell me? The life of Christ. I said, no, it's not. That's not the gospel. The gospel is three things: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. By believing on that, that is what gets someone saved from going to hell to on their way to heaven. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. There's only one. That's the power of God right there. Here we go. Look at Galatians 1:6-9. Watch this. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. In other words, there's no such thing as two gospels. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert means to twist and take in a totally opposite direction. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or damned. Strong word. Look at the next verse, verse 9. As we said before, he's going to say it again, just in case you missed it, okay? Watch this. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There's no such thing as another gospel. There's only supposed to be one thing that you're telling folks to get saved and how to get out of hell, and that's believe the death, that Jesus died for you according to the Scriptures, that He was raised, that He was buried, and that He raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the only thing you're supposed to be telling people what it takes to get out of hell. You tell anybody any other thing, and God says twice, you're damned. In other words, treat him as someone that's on their way to hell. You're not supposed to be telling anybody anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is what gets folks saved. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:17 through 18, you're right there. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. If I tell people, you know what you got to do to get saved? You got to believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and you got to get baptized. You and I just did. I'm preaching another gospel. That's what I tell many people that tell me, you got to get baptized or you're going to hell. I said, do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? Some adamantly do, and some, when I say, do you really believe that? They always go, well, pretty much. And then I take them through these verses right here. I said, if you really believe that, God says you're preaching another gospel. And God says you're damned. God says that gospel that you're telling folks you got to do to get saved, that's not saving anybody. You're giving people a false hope. That's not right. It's not the death, burial, resurrection, and baptism, and living right, and going to church, and treating people kindly, reading your Bible, and praying, and on it goes. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There's only one gospel. It's not one of many. There's only one gospel. Only the blood of Jesus washes away sin. You contact the blood of Jesus through faith in His blood. You get saved by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Baptism cannot wash away sin. Acts 2:38. Honestly, it's a wonderful verse if you can just get one word down. It's a great verse. God doesn't contradict the Bible anywhere. We'll get ready. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your free salvation. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that for our church. Please be with our preacher tonight and bless the service. Be with Brother Nordman as he preaches and bless him, flow through him. And Lord, we just ask for your help tonight. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen.